Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. My treat this morning, you're going to be delighted. We have the artistic director, festival director, co-founder, and a co-curator of the Transform Festival, Corey Payette. There's a picture of a cast of actors holding his titles to the left. Corey is a member of the Matagami First Nations with French, Canadian, and Irish ancestry, and he lives on the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. It's also where our show, I'm grateful to say that our show is produced on those lands, and we are part of working to support the acts of reconciliation and uniting of people with their lands. Corey, tell us a little bit more about you. You have got a very interesting history for deeply moving, large-scale musical creations. You have some exceptional new things that are happening this year. So introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about Transform.
Oh, well, it's so great to get to talk to you today. Ani Korindishnikas, my name is Corey. Yeah, I'm a member of the Matagami First Nations in Northern Ontario, and I live here. I've lived in East Vancouver for most of my adult life and have been creating on these territories for almost that entire time. A lot of my musicals are large-scale musicals that feature a lot of Indigenous performers, Indigenous actors and singers, dancers, and they look to insert Indigenous perspectives and stories into mainstream spaces. And so this year, us having the Transform Festival at the Vancouver Playhouse, you know, it doesn't... I don't know that it gets any bigger than that, you know, right, in Vancouver. And I also don't know... how much like Indigenous like live theater, live music happens at the Playhouse. And so I hope that this is something that becomes more common and that hopefully is a beginning for Indigenous communities to be able to go to the Playhouse and see works that, you know, help to tell our stories.
I know you said it's going to be igniting conversations that inspire social change. Tell us so people will know, when does it start and how do they get tickets?
Yeah, all the tickets information are at transformfestival.ca. The Transform Festival is 4 nights, so I hope that people will get their tickets, you know, in advance. The night starts November 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. So the opening performance is something that we've done in the past with our bash, which is a big opening night bash. It's a giant variety show. It's hosted by Canada's Drag Race Season 4 winner, Venus, and also our protocol keeper and member of the Musqueam Nation, Hwilemia Sparrow. And so they're really our MCs for the night, and they're going to be taking us through a group of different acts. So we have circus, we have dance, we have music. A band called Pilk Silk is going to be there. They're quite popular in Indigenous. They do throat singing and also electronic music. And so it really is there will be something for everyone. But ultimately, really what we're looking for is for people to come together and create a relationship, create an experience, something that you can't see anywhere else and where people will be, you know, buzzing about it after the fact. There will be drag, there will be, you know, ballroom, like voguing ballroom, and also just a great deal of fun. That's the first night. So that's November 6th. The second night, we're doing something called Circus Ball, which is basically a mashup between circus acts and ballroom voguing culture.
Circus acts and voguing culture. Tell us a little bit about how that is Out plays out.
Well, what we've been, we have a group of different artists from each of those communities that then collaborate with one another to create acts that are shown throughout the night. So, and those are being created right now. So they're in the studio working on those and really pulling together a whole tapestry of different experiences that will surprise and really just inspire audiences. That night is hosted by Ralph Escamillan, who's a huge name in the Vancouver ballroom scene as Posh, and also will be featuring circus acts like Cito Adamson, and the cast is huge. It's about 15 different performers on stage, and all of these are new, or most of them are new creations that they're going to be sharing for the first time with audiences. So that's really exciting. And then on the third night, on November 8th, this is a concert that I'm hosting called In Spirit, and really it was November 8th is the National Day for Honoring Indigenous Veterans, and we've compiled a group of different songs that are from different Indigenous composers, but also some music that is about honoring veterans that is going to be really beautiful, because it's just a way of holding space for Indigenous people's stories and histories that are sometimes not given the same sort of weight as other stories. And so we have Corleone, who are performing with us, who's a giant choir here, a professional choir here in Vancouver, and also Vancouver Youth Choir, who are really one of the leaders of this kind of work. They've been singing a lot of Indigenous music and actually have helped to commission arrangements of Indigenous songs. So it's so exciting to be able to have that all happen in one concert, because this work has been performed all around the world, but it's rare to get to see it all happen in one concert and at one place. And so that's what will happen at the Playhouse on November 8th. And then the final night of November 9th is a new musical that I've written called On Native Land. And this is a whole new original musical. And it is a story of identity and land, basically looking at how those things are interconnected. But it's all very new. So it's a chance for audiences to see a new musical that's in process, that's in development, and that really gives an opportunity for the audience to engage with me, the creator of it, and also the rest of the cast in that development. So there really will be something for everyone. And I'm just so, so excited that we're able to do the festival again.
Wow, I'm seeing images of grandeur. Tell me a bit about the process with the circus acts and musical. How many hours did it take you to develop something like that? I've never heard of anyone doing anything like that before.
Well, that's something that we really pride ourselves in, is trying to say, okay, this festival is built as a way to create opportunities for Indigenous artists to come together with non-Indigenous artists. And so that gives us a really great foundation to basically do so many different things and to rally around how do we want that collaboration to look like. So basically, we have all sorts of circus artists working with, for example, Cito Adamson is doing it's a hoop in the air, and she's actually collaborating with a powwow dancer named Notorious Cree. He's quite famous online. He has, I think, 1.2 million followers on Instagram and TikTok. Wow. And everything. So it's giving an opportunity to say, here's a circus artist using hoops and using different circus materials in a certain way. And then here's an Indigenous artist also using different, you know, regalia and traditional dance in a certain way. How will those intersect? What would that be like? And that's really what we're excited to see is really getting a chance to witness for the first time what all of those collaborations look like. So it really is an organic process, I guess, to answer the question quite, you know, directly. It's just about pairing individuals and different artists with their medium and then, you know, allowing them the time and space to create the best work possible.
It's an interesting playscape. And it seems like I'm imagining how your statement, igniting conversations that inspire social change, because a lot of times we give lip service to getting to know about other cultures or giving people opportunity, but really the things that will be locked into your brain after seeing these novel collaborations, I think it really will generate some conversations beyond the night of the event.
That's exactly it. I couldn't have said it better myself. And that I know that in the times when I felt most inspired by community is when we come together and have shared experiences. And I think that in a situation like this, those will be so unique that hopefully it will get people talking beyond the theater and really sharing some of those experiences with the broader community.
And I think even, you know, when I think back about land acknowledgements, everybody opens something and says, I gratefully acknowledge that my work takes place on this and blah, blah, blah. But this is really giving an opportunity to feel the taking part and feeling, you know, where are we going? What direction are we going beyond just acknowledging that our work takes place on?
Well, yeah. And I think that, so we've been working with Juelemia Sparrow, who's our protocol keeper for the festival since it began. And a big part of what Juelemia has focused on is exactly what you're saying, taking the conversation beyond acknowledgement and trying to find ways to learn more and learn about contemporary issues and learn about what is being done today. What are the conversations that we should be having and that we need to learn about today? And that's been something that has grown over the years. And I'm so thrilled that she's done so much with this. And it's like, it's about taking that conversation further. And so it's never meant to be, this is all of what we're going to do is an acknowledgement, but rather the acknowledgement is only the beginning and that we have so much more to do.
And it's on such a grand scale. Will there be times, intermission or times after the programs for people to talk? So if somebody is really inspired, is it set up so that there are opportunities for people to talk?
There are, on the opening bash night, there's going to be a giant after party at the Playhouse that everyone, you know, is welcome to and hopefully can be a place for sharing those ideas. And then also we have the closing night party on the last Saturday after the performance. So our hope is that people will actually be able to see multiple performances and really get a sense of all the different varieties that are out there in terms of, you know, people practicing their culture that might be more traditional, people practicing culture that's more contemporary and that is surprising that, you know, some of these acts are getting to be featured on such a grand stage. But I just think that all of those intersections that can happen with the artists and the community will happen at those opening and closing parties. So it's really trying to take back this stage as one for, you know, to create some of these lasting relationships.
Intergenerational relationships, what types of intergenerational things are happening within the festival?
Well, as part of the National Indigenous Veterans Day, we're having a gathering ahead of time for Indigenous veterans and all veterans, because it's a tight-knit community. So that will be an opportunity for some of the Indigenous veterans to gather and socialize, and also feel like there's space being given for their history and for their stories to be told, as well as at the actual concert itself. We have a song by Russell Wallace, who is a local Indigenous composer, who is he has a song called Forgotten Warriors that is specifically dedicated and written for Indigenous veterans. And so all of these places are ways that we can bring together different generations, different communities, and really hold space for them. And I think as it relates to you know, Remembrance Day and Veterans Day, I think it's recognizing that in order to really understand the full picture of the history, we need to hold space for all different communities. And so that's part of it. And then another really wonderful highlight that I'd give around intergenerational work is in On Native Land. So on November 9th, there's this musical that's being shown. And we have a wonderful actor named Tonin Lee Wright, who's definitely one of a leader in the community, but she's one of the older members of the cast, and she's working along artists who are in their 20s, and it's just wonderful to see that the intergenerational collaboration that's happening even within that cast. It gives us so much, and it's so inspiring, and I'm just so excited for audiences to get to witness her perform on stage. And so that's really special.
Is that, I was thinking maybe we might be able to hear a part of that. Is that an individual song or something that's just going to be released at the festival?
Do you mean for On Native Land?
Yes.
Yeah, so On Native Land, it's all still in development. So it's very much, there's nothing that's been released yet. It's all still in process. So none of that will be, shared ahead of time. It's still, the production will probably happen in a couple of years. But there is a song called Gimekwendana that's going to be sung at the In Spirit concert. And that's one where we've actually sung that song. I've sung it with Corleone in the past. And it's a great example of a song that will be sung on the stage at the In Spirit concert. So that's on November 8th.
You're listening to Sister C's conversation with Corey Payette, curator of the Transform Festival, here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll be right back to Charlotte and Corey's conversation, but first we're going to hear that song that Corey mentioned. This is Gimmick When Then Ina by Corey Payette with the Vancouver Youth Choir.
Give me breath.
Gimikwenden Ina by Corey Payette and the Vancouver Youth Choir here on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where Systasy is mid-conversation with Corey Payette, who is also the curator of the Transform Festival, November 6th to 9th at the Vancouver Playhouse. And now back to their conversation.
If you were talking to someone who is debating going into the creative arts, particularly musicals, what would you say to them that has been the best way it's influenced your life?
Well, I think that for me, it was never an option not to. I think that ever since I've been a young person, this is something that I've always felt so drawn to, you know, starting as an actor and then becoming a musical director and a director and a writer. They've all been parts of my storytelling that have just felt like very natural extensions. And so I would say for young artists, I would say, you know, don't force it and find a way to connect with what makes your voice unique. And why is it that you feel so drawn to this expression? And then no matter where that leads you, you will find fulfillment. And for me, it's been within, you know, creating Indigenous musicals. But for all different people, that might be, someone might be, it might be about a basket weaving or dancing of some sort. So I think that can manifest in any certain way, but it is so fulfilling when you find that pocket for yourself where you just feel like you fit, and that's something that I think has given me great joy in my life.
What about mentorship? Should people seek a mentor, and are you aware of people who are mentors?
Yeah, I have many different artists that I have mentored and am mentoring, and I've also been mentored by so many people. So I think that's what's a beautiful thing about the arts, is that so many people, in order to get into it, have needed to be, you know, pulled up by others. And so I think that's such a wonderful thing to seek out wherever possible and at whatever age. I still feel like there are moments where, even as I've developed my career, where I am looking for that mentorship for myself and looking for someone who's a little bit further along and who can help to give me some of that guidance. So it never stops. It's always, you know, it's always just about learning and trying to be better.
So it sounds like you are pretty passionate about this. Do you think this is your life purpose? Or how do you see, do you think people have a life purpose?
Wow, what a great question. I don't even know that I know what my life's purpose is. But when I feel like I've hit it right is when I have written something that is so deeply personal or deeply connected to a certain character's experience, and that then resonates so strongly with others. And that's where it may be something very specific to me when I was writing it, but the universality of it and how that helps to impact people in their lives, you know. And a good example of that is this song that I was telling you about, called Gimikwendana. I have taught that song to many choirs and many singers over the course of my career all over the world. And I recently heard from a young singer that said that, so they were taught that song, and I, when I teach it to people, I say, this is yours now. This is your music. I'm, you know, it is a gift. It's a gift of song. And one of the singers told me that when she was grieving a loved one who had passed, she went into the forest and she sat down and sang this song as a way to hold space for this loved one who had passed, and that it made her feel better. And she shared that with her family and they sang it together. That's something that, when I was writing that music, I had no idea that it would have that kind of deep resonance with people in their lives in terms of whatever they're going through. But I think that's when I have felt like well, that's what I'm here to do. That's what I am meant to do, is to gift music, to gift stories, to gift all these certain stories to people, that maybe that will help them in whatever they're dealing with in their lives. And that really is the purpose, really is my purpose, I should say.
Yeah, I think when you were talking about these large-scale productions, just seeing the passion that goes behind it. A person doesn't just one day sit down and do it, but you have to have had layers and layers of passion and other people who caught your vision. How do you find the community, musical community, production community, in terms of working together? You know, movies always show people are fighting the dissolution, but what has been your experience like working on these beat sheets of the inner relationships and communication?
Theater is a collaborative medium. You know, it's very much about how well do you work with others. It's nothing happens alone. You know, even this on Native Land that I'm currently working on, we have a team of like 25, 30 people who are all building this with me and alongside me. So there might be that larger vision that I'm able to provide to a performance, but it comes from a great deal of collaboration and of so many different artistic minds coming together to make that a reality. So it's actually kind of the opposite of it being a singular one person doing it all. That might be where the vision begins, but it takes a village to really bring it to life.
And it seems like some shifts that are happening, because on the one hand you hear how there's a lot of mean speak, people aren't talking to each other, but in these opening and closing events, it just pays testimony to a lot of people had to get along and talk together in a positive way in order for that to happen. Do you have scheduled sessions or any types of things where people just sit and talk through the relationships that go behind these big productions?